But first, we turn to Lansing, where state lawmakers are starting to wrap up their work so far for this session before heading out for spring recess. It seems it's as good a time as any to review what they have and haven't accomplished since the beginning of the new year. Joining us for the review is Rick Pluta, Capital Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network, in studio, in the flesh. Rick, it's good to see you right in person.
Yep, I brought my bunny slippers.
There you go. Well, get comfortable. Let's start with some issues, Rick, involving health. The Medicaid expansion, the Blue Cross Blue Shield bills signed into law, health care exchanges. And we see Governor Snyder is not getting a whole lot of love from fellow Republicans. He announced he'll take federal money to expand the Medicaid rolls in the state, and GOP members aren't happy with this. They say they want Medicaid reform in exchange for their support. So what would this mean? Is Snyder willing to make this type of deal?
Well, you know, there's not a dollar that the state gets, whether it's from the federal government or from Michigan taxpayers, that can be spent without it being appropriated by the legislature. That's in the state constitution. So the governor can't just unilaterally, you know,
decide.
Take it. But if you look at the first part of this new session, and compare it to, say, you know, the end of last year. Mm-hmm. Well, I know you're a fan of The Who.
Mm-hmm.
So meet the new term, same as the old term.
Okay.
That, you know, we're really revisiting, you know, a lot of these fights. Medicaid is new, but bickering among Republicans over what the state's going to do vis-a-vis Obamacare is not new.
Very much.
As a matter of fact, there's a deadline this week for the state Senate to accept federal funding for the health care exchanges if Michigan is going to do a joint exchange with the federal government.
The hybrid.
Yeah, where it would have some authority over customer services, some of the choices that are made in terms of care. And if it's not done this week, then we just get put into a federal system and everything gets run out of Washington, D.C.
And we leave millions on the table.
As a matter of fact, it could conceivably cost the state about $9 million because we would have to pony up for our part of plugging into the exchange.
Well, let me ask you, because we know last fall you had the state house dragging its feet on this exchange because they wanted to see if Barack Obama was going to get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
And if Mitt Romney came in, then maybe we would say goodbye to the Affordable Health Care Act. That
right.
did not happen.
And finally, this year it happened again. I mean, one of the but Rick Snyder and the Republican leadership had to cobble together in the House a majority that was made up of more Democrats than Republicans, sort of defying what's sometimes called the Hastert rule from Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And what it says is that nothing moves unless a majority of the majority wants it to happen.
Okay.
And so this is – I mean, that's kind of the way the game is played now, and this was a departure from that. So they had to do something really – you know, kind of different from the norm to make that happen. That fight is now over in the Senate.
And why are they dragging their feet?
Tea Party. Almost everyone who was here this term, or who's here last term that's still here this term, has voted on this. And a lot of Republicans voted for it, who are now saying, well, we regret that vote. And it's because of the blowback from the right side of their party. We're seeing a similar fight play out now about the Medicaid expansion. And there are big dollars involved with this, too, not just the money that we're getting from the federal government, but just to name one aspect of it. But everyone talks about how, you know, we're blowing the doors off of corrections spending.
Yeah.
Well, we've got $25 million in savings in the correction budget this year that depends on that Medicaid expansion, and it is not a sure thing. And again, it's the Tea Party saying, you know what? It's a mistake to call this free money from the federal government because it's coming out of taxpayers' pockets one way or the other. And so this is a continuation of the no cooperation, no way, no how with the new federal health care law that's playing out into this new session.
Now, we want to talk Blue Cross Blue Shield. We know he signed the new reform bills into law. He had vetoed the law originally last year because it was passed in the lame duck session with that abortion measure he didn't like. So what was different this time around that earned it a signature?
No abortion language.
Bingo. Everything else is the same.
Same thing. Yep. And what this does is this has been something that a lot of people have wanted for a long time, that Blue Cross Blue Shield resisted being changed from its, you know, not-for-profit, mm-hmm. tax-exempt charity status for a long time. But now, if there was no reason for Blue Cross Blue Shield to maintain that status, because under the federal health care reforms, there's no longer an insurer of last resort.
The insurance
company that has to take all applicants regardless of any pre-existing conditions. Now everyone does it. And if Blue Cross Blue Shield wants to get on the healthcare exchanges that we were just talking about,
yes.
they needed this, and that's what made it happen. And it's, you know, one of the things that actually moved in this first part of the session with relatively little controversy.
All right, let's move from healthcare and health issues and talk about transportation funding. Certainly, it's been talked about, especially since the State of the State address, and we know the governors want pushing for at least $1 billion in additional funding each year.
$1.2 billion, and that is only to keep the transportation system fixed and maintained more or less as it is. This
doesn't fix the crumbling.
Well, it's supposed to fix the crumbling, but what it doesn't do is actually local government officials came out yesterday kind of in force to say, you know, $1.2 billion is great, but one, we want to make sure that if we carry water for the governor on this, that local government gets some of this money.
That
every road that connects someone's home or small business to a state trunk line is a local road. We want part of it. But the other thing, too, is the transit system as it exists, even if it's fixed up, is insufficient. Mm. So there's some real concern here. You know, this $1.2 billion is hardly a sure sell. But at the same time, some people are concerned that once the legislature does this, if it does this,
if,
then that eliminates the pressure to do anything more in terms of the kinds of upgrades and improvements and overhauls that are needed to really make this a 21st century transit system with public transit and bike lanes and things like
instead
that.
Instead of putting Band-Aids on the 20th century version.
Exactly.
Version 2.0.
right.
Well, can we assume something is going to get passed in terms of road funding? Because I know they still can't assume it.
No, you cannot assume it. That the problem is, you know, everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die.
Mm-hmm.
That there's general agreement that we've got that we've got a problem that needs to be fixed, but no one wants to go the route of revenue, tax mm-hmm. increases, no matter how you do it, to do this. And there's talk about maybe it's an increase in the gasoline tax,
right.
which is a temporary solution because people are driving more fuel-efficient cars that just give you less per gallon.
Correct.
Maybe going towards a sales tax where at least you're paying on, you know, the total volume mm-hmm. of what you're buying, or a wholesale tax, registration fees. The ideas just run the gamut. But centrally, there's still that problem of no one wants to vote for a tax increase, and there are still a few people. I'm talking to you, State Senator Patrick Colbeck of Canton, who are saying you don't have to raise taxes at all, that you could go in and carve $1.5 billion out of state government to come up with the money for roads.
How much traction does that one have?
About as much traction as a tax increase. And so we've sort of got a situation where every possibility, including the status quo, is impossible. So therefore, at some point, the impossible is going to happen no matter what it is.
Well, when they get back from spring recess, what's leading the agenda?
Well, probably going back to work on the budget. The first segment of the year traditionally is about, the governor delivers his State of the State mm-hmm. address and sets his agenda, and then he delivers his budget proposal, which is his last biggest opportunity to put stuff on the table, because everything after that is negotiated.
Yeah.
And we should point out that, you know, and the goal is by the time you get to the spring break is that everything is at least out of their budget subcommittees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really big deal this week, just to look at one issue. Today, you know, remember what I said, you know, meet mm-hmm. the new term, same as the old term?
Yes.
We are still arguing about right to work. You know, universities, public schools, some of them are signing these right to work around contracts, mm-hmm. extensions that go out 8 years,
Wayne State
10
just
years.
Did. Yep.
Yeah, Wayne State, some school districts mm-hmm. that basically, as long as these contracts are in place on March 27th, the day before the law takes effect, mm-hmm. then contracts, because under the U.S. Constitution, contract rights are inviolate, they last for the life of the contract.
Those 8 years.
And so what Republicans in the legislature are looking at doing is sanctioning universities and school districts and other public employers that sign these extended contracts, what I call the right to work around
mm-hmm.
contracts.
Mm-hmm. So to give them a big stiff slap on the wrist.
Well, it would actually, although there are codicils in most, if not all, of these contracts that say if the legislature does something like this, then the unions and the public employers will have to go back and rebargain the whole thing.
And around and around and around we go. Boy, I'll tell you. Well, I guess it'll be an interesting post-spring recess session. Rick Pluta, fun to see you in person. We must do this more often. You and your bunny slippers are always welcome in the studio.
Absolutely.
Michigan Public Radio Network's Lansing Bureau Chief Rick Pluta. Good to have you on Stateside.
My pleasure.